Welcome to Talk Dust, a podcast for the mathematically curious, brought to you by the team from Chalk Dust Magazine.
Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Talk Dust. I'm TD.
And I'm Sean, and we are your hosts for this episode.
So, Sean, have you had anything interesting recently?
Yeah, so last week I got what we call scooped, sort of. So I'm a PhD student, and so I'm doing research, and I've been working on a problem for about 3 months now, and it was going quite well, I thought, and then last week I realised that somebody has already done the problem before me, and so they've already solved it, and written it, and published it, and they had some really beautiful experiments that were better than anything that I could have ever done. So that was quite frustrating, because that meant that 3 months of work basically was kind of for nothing. So yeah, and that's what we call being scooped. Yeah.
Do you know where the term comes from?
In journalism, like a scoop is, yeah, like a story that you break for anyone else. So someone broke this story.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it could be worse. I mean, 3 months is not that long. I know some people have been working on something for a year or over a year, and then someone just beats them to it, which must be very frustrating.
But you still feel like you've accomplished something in those 3 months, you know, even if you hadn't published, like you've learned a lot of new stuff.
I guess that's a good point. I enjoyed it, and it was a fun thing to do, and yeah, I guess I did learn a lot doing it, so yeah. And it was quite satisfying to see that what I was doing was kind of on the right track as well, so that was nice. Yeah.
So maybe at some point you'd scoop someone else.
Maybe.
Yeah.
The scooper becomes the scoopy. I'll find out what they're doing and try and do it before.
Yeah, that's how you do research, right? Become really petty.
And steal other people's ideas. Yeah. Great plan.
So I've recently been revising for my exams. And like this is sort of the period where you realise that all the maths that was really elegant and like interesting that you did in the year, It's just really hard to do an exam in and kind of start regretting it a little bit. Yeah, so as beautiful as it is, I really enjoyed it. Although here I'm sort of kicking myself, thinking, oh, I should have taken more applied modules.
Why is that? Just because it's hard to think of these things spontaneously on the spot? Because they're not obvious?
Yeah, definitely. It's not really like a calculation, is it? It's like trying to use these very abstract ideas and then produce them, like reproduce them in an exam. Like really having like a very good grasp on the material and then be creative about it, seeing how you can adapt it to the question. Okay. Yeah, and I think that's difficult, but it's not something that you can't learn like through practice. So, I mean, I kind of moan about it, but at the end of the day, I think, you know, we all really know what we're expected to do.
But it is tough. I remember as well that fear that like, as much as you prepare, you're still scared that you can never feel certain that you're going to be able to reproduce it.
It really never is enough, is it? Yeah. Because you don't know what comes up, and you don't know what your lecturer might be thinking, or your, you know, the examiners just in general. And sometimes, like even doing like past paper questions, like it might not be the same person lecturing it, and like that, yeah, that uncertainty means that you never really feel like you're fully prepared, right?
Yeah, which is not a nice feeling.
No.
To go through, yeah.
But, you know, it'll pass. And so good luck to everyone who is currently revising for any sort of exam.
Yeah, good luck to all of you.
This episode of Talk Dust is brought to you by Squares. For all your regular quadrilateral needs, try Squares. Squares. They're all right. Angles.
Earlier this year, we spoke to Tanmay Kulkarni about Somewhere Over the Critical Line, a story that he wrote for issue 8 of Chalk Dust.
What inspired you to come up with this wonderful story about this fictional world where primes and composite numbers are divided and fighting?
Well, I mean, so I've been writing essays on topics like binary numbers, and I did this poem on Math 2, which is sort of an introduction to mathematical writing, but this was probably my first time writing this big story about it. And so one big inspiration was Music of the Primes, which is by Marcus Du Sautoy, which I believe was mentioned in your issue number 6.
Yes, that's right.
And so I watched it on Netflix, and then sort of I found and read the book, which, and it's a really good book. So I sort of got really inspired, and I did a lot of experiments with primes. And I also read Flatterland by Ian Stewart, and his books are quite interesting, and that made me really want to write a mathematical story. And it also introduced me to the concept of prejudice between primes, which I sort of wanted to incorporate in my story. So that came out as the whole divide between the primes and the composites. And then for story ideas, I sort of looked at the original Flatland by Edwin Abbott Abbott, but it sort of was really confusing, and I sort of gave up on that. So those are basically my main inspirations for writing Somewhere Over the Critical Line.
Wow, that's a lot of different sources that you've drawn on there. So you said you enjoyed reading Marcus de Soto's book, The Music of the Primes. Is that where you learned about the idea of the critical line and the Riemann hypothesis?
Yeah, that sort of introduced me to the whole zeta function, critical line, different types of primes like Sophie-Germain primes and Mersenne primes.
Aside from these sort of stories and stuff, you must be quite into mathematics generally.
Well, yeah. I do it more as like a fun thing, as like exploratory math with my parents. But I also go to competitions. Washington is known to have like a lot of math competitions, and a lot of kids around here are very into math. So there are a lot. It's a very very vibrant community of math competitions and math circles, especially Russian math circles. There's like this whole big following about it.
A Russian math circle. What does that involve?
So most of them have, like, most of them are either really rigorous, like they have school math or like something related to school math, just like grades higher, or it's very exploratory, like the one I go to, prime factor. So they do a lot of exploratory math, like balancing weights and the Towers of Hanoi, which is like the puzzle. So there's like these specific mathematical ways to figure out how you do it with different number of discs. They also do a lot of Mobius strips. You get to build them, and then you can trace lines on them and do different manipulations with them and different puzzles on them.
What area of maths interests you the most? Is it this sort of these games, or are you more interested in prime numbers and things like that?
So, like, I'm really interested in prime numbers. I don't know a lot about them, and I don't know how to manipulate them very well. But I just like reading about them and, like, the different things people have done in history to do them. But, like, right now, like, the stuff I like working with complex numbers, even though I'm just using, like, basic arithmetic with them. And I also I'm working on quadratic equations, graphing lines, parabolas, and inequalities.
So, looking forward, you obviously have a good interest in maths and a good ability of writing stories. Can you see yourself writing any more mathematical stories?
Yeah, I see myself writing a lot more. Like, because I enjoy writing and math, so my stories tend to be about mathematical writing. And so this is sort of the start to that, and I do see myself writing stories like that.
And in the future, would you like to see yourself more in the math side of things or more in the writing side of things?
I see myself more in the math side of things. Like, currently, I have this weird idea about, like, graphing inequalities. Like, they're living in this big, complex, this Cartesian coordinate plane. And they have this, and they're, like, little points living there. And then there's this big inequality between the rich and the poor. And so it's sort of a little, complicated, but I'm still working out the kinks on that. So it's great mathematics because you can personify a lot of the mathematical concepts and then have them interact in many different ways, which results in this really interesting plot with a lot of twists, which you can add.
I guess a lot of that comes down to the language that we use for maths, right? Like when you talk about an inequality, it has sort of this dual meaning, like the mathematical meaning and the meaning in the rest of society. And I guess the same in Somewhere Over the Critical Line, where you talk about twin primes, as well as obviously having a mathematical meaning, we all kind of have a emotional attachment that we put on the word twin. So in this world that you imagine, how long have the primes and the composites been fighting for?
So, I mean, like, the time frame has been sort of a few centuries.
Okay, So how did the composites take over from the prime?
Well, I mean, the composites, I didn't exactly explore that in the thing, but the composites, I guess, would, like, sort of, because you can create so many more composites than primed, it's sort of maybe like an overtaking, like an outnumbering. So, like, you can have, like, all the composites start ganging up on the primes, and sort of they start driving them out.
Okay, wow. It's a good backstory you put together there with some mathematical rigor in it as well. That's excellent.
But I haven't really explored that in the story. Maybe I was thinking like writing another.
Okay, well, if you do, I'm sure we would definitely love to read it.
Do you have a favorite cheese?
Cheese? I guess I'd have to say cheddar cheese.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking to us. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. And yeah, I've really enjoyed hearing your ideas. And I'm sure we'll be speaking to you again very soon.
Fact of the podcast. Did you know? Scorpions come from the same class of animals as spiders. They are arachnids. So I've recently come across a problem about colouring the Euclidean plane. And the question is, how many colours are needed to colour the plane so that no two points of unit distance apart are the same colour?
Okay, so you have to take every point and colour it in such a way that if two points are distance one apart, exactly distance one apart, they can't have the same colour.
Exactly. It has, so the two points have to be exactly distance one away. If they're distance a half or one and a half, then they can be the same colour, that's fine. So this question was first posed in the 1950s and was actually first published in 1960 in Martin Gardner's Mathematical Games.
Oh, isn't that the newspaper column he did for a while? I've heard lots of really good things came out of that.
Yes, yes it is. And this is one of many very interesting problems. So this is currently still an unsolved problem. The solution is known to be between 5, 6, and 7. But it's easier to prove that you need at least 4 colours.
Right. How would you go about proving something like that? What sort of types of maths would you use?
So you don't need many tools. If you start with an equilateral triangle, for example, of side one, then you have 3 vertices and they're all connected to each other, and so you would need 3 colours.
That makes sense. So if you stick 2 equilateral triangles together, then you need 4 colours, right?
If you stick 2 equilateral triangles together, you actually still only need 3 colours. However, you're getting closer to the solution this way. So there is a construction that you can do that shows that you need at least 4 colours, and we'll be putting this picture in the show notes.
And what is that construction? Can you describe it in a radio-friendly way?
It looks like 2 parallelograms, sort of one on top of each other but a bit moved, and there's like a semicircle somewhere between that, and it doesn't take very long to realize that you might need 4 colors.
Okay, so I guess a simpler version of this problem would be to consider it in one dimension. Is it solved along a line?
My idea for the 1D case was that, say, if you took an interval 0 to 1, including 0 but not 1, and you color that blue, and then you take 2 adjacent intervals, 1 to 2, not including 2, and minus 1 to 0, not including 0, and colouring those 2 intervals red, then by iterating this step, you can cover the whole line, and that should satisfy the criteria.
Okay, so you have a repeating pattern of red and blue intervals of length 1, and that does it.
I think so.
Oh, cool. So let's skip over 2D. What about 3D?
That is left as an exercise for the listener.
So, 1D good, 2D bad, 3D worse. Thanks, TD.
This episode of Talk Dust is brought to you by Fermat's Last Theorem. Fermat's Last Theorem is... Oh, hang on a minute, that's odd. The rest of the script for this ad is missing. I guess the margins weren't big enough to contain it. Try Fermat's last theorem today.
Now we're going to play a game called Guess the Number.
This is where I think of a number and Sean tries to guess it.
What number are you thinking of?
Unfortunately, I can only answer yes or no questions.
I see. Now I understand the rules of the game. Is the number that you're thinking of even?
I think so. Yeah, it's even.
Is it zero?
No, it's not zero.
Is the number that you're thinking of a integer?
No, it's not an integer.
But it's still even.
Okay, maybe it's not really even then.
Is the number that you're thinking of rational?
Yes, it's rational.
It's rational, okay. Is the number that you're thinking of expressible as a date in the format day-day, month-month? Like if the slash in the date is the line in the fraction, does your number work as a date?
Yes, because it's a rational number, right? So I can express that as a fraction.
Yeah, but it could be over 60. 1 over 60 wouldn't work as a...
Right, no, so it wouldn't work as, like, if you were sticking to your calendar date. Yeah, no, it wouldn't.
What about if it was the other way around? Month, then date?
Still wouldn't.
Still wouldn't, okay. Is there more than 3 digits in the denominator?
Nope.
Is it less than 1?
I believe so, yes.
Is it greater than 0?
No, it's not.
Is it minus 1 over 12?
Yes! Wow! That was Guess the Number, everyone!
You have been listening to Talk Dust, a podcast for the mathematically curious. The presenters were Sean Jemshidi and TD Dang. The special guest, Tanmay Kulkarni. Editing and music by Matthew Scroggs. Announcements by Tom Rivlin. Find out more about Chalk Dust, a magazine for the mathematically curious, and Talk Dust, a podcast for the mathematically curious, at chalkdustmagazine.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Mastodon at chalkdustmag. See you next month.
Should we start again?